I think it's safe to say that this is the simplest, clearest, and hardest command of all. Perhaps more than any other single verse in the New Testament, this verse should cause us to rise up out of our seats and run out of the church building and never come back. Love one another. On one level, that's easy. We can think nice thoughts. We can do occasional good deeds. Center your life on the tenets of this hallmark, love. And we know how to do that. We're generally nice people, right? But wait a minute. Jesus doesn't stop there. He also says this morning, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And that's the part that many of us run from. We all think that love is a pretty good idea. But Jesus doesn't tell us to love each other in the same old way, the way we've always done it. He says, love Jesus' way. Just like He did. Just like a cross. You die to self-love and you love Jesus' way. Loving Jesus' way is not safe. It's not comfortable. But this is not negotiable. This is not a negotiable command for all who choose to follow Jesus Christ. What Jesus teaches compared to how we live may seem too much for us to bear. I ask you this morning, do we really love that way? And do we really want to love that way? It can be a real dilemma. One Christian wrote it this way. It is decidedly impractical to love as Jesus loved. It's amazing to me that we church people aren't mad at Jesus more than we are. For his teachings challenge much of what we hold so dear. If you read the Bible closely, be prepared to be bothered. To love as Jesus loves is to love not based on our opinions, our prejudices, our feelings of justice at any given time. This kind of love is unconditional. It includes everyone and excludes no one. And it goes all the way. I read a story this week that a man writes. He says, the phone rang some time ago. It was a friend whose daughter had been murdered in a nearby state. Incredibly painful and tragic. And on a hike once, this friend told me that he eventually wanted to visit his daughter's murderer. Well, that day had arrived, and that's why he was calling. He and his wife had been to the sentencing. And he said, you know, we talked to him and we offered him our forgiveness. And the man says there was a silence for a while on the phone, and I wasn't expected what he was to say. And this man went on and said, and you know, it looks like we'll be visiting this man from time to time. We went down there thinking there would be some sort of closure to the trip at the end of all this pain. And here it seems God is opening up a new chapter in our lives. A long time ago, as he hung on the cross, Jesus, the Lamb of God, prayed for the very people who were killing him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Love one another, he said. Just like that. But that's some heavy-duty theology. And it might take a while for us to get our minds around it. Might even take a lifetime to understand it. But it's also at the core of getting to know and to discover who God truly is and what God's calling for us is. Shallow thinking and shallow loving often keep good company. But it's shallow. God's love is all about the other person. It overflows into service, not in order to show off our hard work, but because it's a natural way to live. Jesus' love is obedient. Throughout Jesus' ministry on earth, he emphasized that he was in constant communion with God the Father. He didn't do anything without his Father's permission, guidance, or without consulting him. Remember these words that Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." And you know, that obedient love brought Jesus into many amazing places. It took him to a wedding where he turned water into wine. It took him to the dark places of outer society where lepers live. It caused him to raise a girl dead back to life, to calm a storm, to heal the demon possessed, to weep for a dead friend, to face the institutions of his day with unwavering confidence and truth, teach the masses about the love of God, rescue a woman about to be stoned, heal the blind, make friends with prostitutes and tax collectors, to have immeasurable patience with a band of disciples who never seem to get it. He healed on the Sabbath. He lived radically to the core. And he went all the way to the cross for the sins of the world. And as followers of Jesus Christ, the Ami read the passage, we're called to go. We're called to love. But what does that look like? What does that going and loving look like? I want to read a story that I read this week. I asked at the other church how many people have heard of Mark Scandretti, and no one had. I hope some of you have. It's a new name for me. I just started reading some of his works. He's an evangelical pastor, and I see his name popping up everywhere all of a sudden. He wrote a book called Soul Graffiti, Making a Life in the Way of Jesus. And he writes about a time when on a bus ride from work to home, he befriended an elderly man who seemed lonely and in need of a friend. And I want to read some of what he says in his book. He says, this man lived in a rusty old school bus in a vacant lot. And when he told this man he was a follower of Jesus, this man became very angry and yelled at him, "Get out of my bus." But instead of giving up on the man, Mark, along with some of the other church members, began to visit this man several times a week. They would bring him groceries. They helped cut his hair and clip his fingernails and toenails and just clean him up. And gradually, this guy started to trust their friendship, and he opened up to them. And Mark writes in his book that one December, this man confided in him and said, "I'm going to kill myself on New Year's Day." And as he tried to talk him out of it, telling him that God loved him, the man bitterly replied, "Nobody has ever cared about me." And Mark continues in his book that at Christmas we decided to throw a party for him, including his favorite food and a birthday cake. And I told him that I was going to bring my family along. There was a full moon on that December evening, and he says, when I knocked on the door of the bus, he came to the door with a thin young woman who we all knew worked as a prostitute and who lived in a trailer on the street nearby. She joined us along with one of her clients, and Mark continues to say, we ate by candlelight, serenaded by music from a transistor radio. And the man declared that the food, a collection of dishes that he had requested, were delicious. And he says, after dinner, my wife Lisa put some candles on a cake and said, let's sing happy birthday to someone who hadn't celebrated a birthday in a while. And just then, one of Mark's children, a beaming three-year-old son named Noah, blurted out, we could sing happy birthday to Jesus. And Mark says he panicked because the name Jesus was the worst thing that he could imagine mentioning in front of this man who had thrown him out of the bus earlier just for mentioning Jesus. And he said, I waited to see what he would react like. And slowly, with a big toothless grin, this man said, yes, let's sing happy birthday to Jesus. And Mark continues, under a clear starry night, the eight of us sang together, Lisa, me, a streetwalker and a John, a man who had never experienced love, and three small children with red cheeks. And he says, as I helped the man back into his bus, he turned to me and said, this was the best night of my life. Thank you. Jesus let us in on a big secret. Love one another. You know, that's the key to life. That's the only way to find joy and happiness. Love is true freedom. Jesus says, as I have loved you, you must love one another. In other words, Jesus has given us the immeasurable privilege of living like him. And then spreading God's love to the world, just like Jesus did. And Jesus says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples. Do people know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? And do they know it by how much you love? Where's God calling you to go? Who is God calling you to reach with God's love? Where are you not loving as Jesus loves? And who are you not loving as Jesus loves? Don't miss out on it. Don't allow anything to get in the way of it. Make this the most important aspect of your life. Make it your entire life. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. In our scripture this morning, Jesus calls this commandment new. But it's not so much new as a matter of never hearing these words before. It's a matter of never hearing them like this before. It's a matter of the depth of love and the type of love that we have. As I said earlier in the sermon, a long time ago, as he hung on the cross, Jesus, the Lamb of God, prayed for the very people who were killing him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Love one another, he said, just like that. Amen.